Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Midweek Motivation. This is our final episode on Becoming Fully Devoted, looking at the character of God, God Most Wise. I'm going to begin by reading from Jen Wilkins, In His Image, her chapter on God Most Wise. Wisdom is closely related to knowledge, but distinct from it. Knowledge is possessing the facts. Wisdom is the ability to achieve the best ends with the facts. Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions based on the knowledge available. The wisest human you know is still capable of choosing wrongly, simply because he does not possess all the facts. Wise humans choose wisely by taking the facts they know and extrapolating the best course of action. And we as believers know that we can know the Bible, we can know the Word of God, we can quote Scripture, but it is only through the Holy Spirit and the discernment that God offers us that those words can form wisdom within us. And wisdom is not just something that you get when you're old. It is not a given. 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. So it's not like a rite of passage, like, oh, they're old, they must be wise. No, wise comes from putting in the work to develop a deeper relationship with God and seek and pursue and put in the time and the energy and the craving and the asking and the praying and the turmoil and the tears. It is a dedication, but it does not have an age to it. If you've listened before on a podcast, I talked about like spiritual maturity. It has nothing to do with a number of how old you are. There can be young people that have spiritual maturity. There can be old people that don't, and vice versa. So the first thing I thought, well, first of all, if you listened to last Wednesday's episode on God Most Truthful, you know that a book came to mind that I shared with you, Seven Blind Mice by Ed Young. So when I was prayerfully considering, okay, God Most Wise, the book that came to my mind, because if I think about it as a lesson, if I was going to teach this, I love to anchor it with something that you're going to remember. So immediately when I was thinking about knowledge versus wisdom, I thought of Alexander Who Used to Be Rich Last Sunday, a book by Judith Vorst. And it's longer, so I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to give you a synopsis of it if it's not a book you have read. And I loved reading this book, especially with my third graders. I would usually give them coins and money, and as Alexander lost money, they would move those coins or that amount of money on their little money chart from I have this much to I lost this much. And I used it in math, but it's more of a practical application than just math. It's knowledge versus wisdom. So as believers, we're going to listen to it with that ear. Here's how it starts. Alexander Used to Be Rich Last Sunday by Judith Vorst. It isn't fair that my brother Anthony has $2 and three quarters and one dime and seven nickels and 18 pennies. It isn't fair that my brother Nicholas has $1 and two quarters and five dimes and five nickels and 13 pennies. It isn't fair because what I've got is bus tokens. All right, I'm going to stop right there. First of all, Satan offers us the sin of comparison. So let's stop right there with these three simple pages and just ask yourself, how many times have you been the one that's looking and saying, well, I don't have the blessing that so-and-so does. And I don't have the blessings that so-and-so does. And it isn't fair because all I've got is bus tokens. So for sure, that is something that we should take to the feel wheel and look at the fact that we are disappointed or that we are bitter or that we are hurt or we are depressed or we are confused or we are insecure, or we feel rejected. Take those to the feel wheel and let it lead us back to God's word. And of course, if you go to rejected, it takes you immediately to God is wise. And we're going to talk about some of the verses that on the back then it takes you to. But anyway, comparison, don't fall prey to that. Bind Satan from that. And most of the time, what I've mostly got is bus tokens. And even when I'm very rich, I know that pretty soon what I'll have is bus tokens. I know this because I used to be rich last Sunday. All right. That, to me, is when we have our seasons of, I'm reading his word, I'm praying, I feel like he's listening, I feel like I feel him with me, I feel like I have a direction, I feel like I'm anchored, that I'm content or I'm happy or I'm secure, maybe I'm going to church faithfully, I'm able to praise and worship him, I have a community, things are great. And then all of a sudden, whatever it is, temptation, sin, doubt, depression, change in job, relationship, finances, health, whatever it is that the world and the devil uses to rock us, shake us, then all of a sudden we have that. I used to be rich, but now, and you go back to that bus token mentality, and you get disappointed, depressed, discouraged, anxious, and you automatically think God has left you when God does not move at all. He is always right here with us, the Holy Spirit surrounding you if you are a believer. So last Sunday, Grandma Betty and Grandpa Louie came to visit from New Jersey, and it tells you about what they brought, and they gave money equally to Nick and Anthony and Alexander. And of course, the story goes with the brothers kept their money. They are older. So, okay, let's say they're a little more mature. And Alexander is the youngest. And it goes through page by page. And it tells you basically how he wasted his money. And even his father said you should basically put it in the bank. But he didn't listen. So to me, that is maybe a mentor, a pastor, someone that you trust that gives you a word of advice, like, listen, overthinking is under trusting God. Every time you go to overthink something, just bind it. Literally say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for overthinking this, trying to make a plan, trying to get my way out of it, trying to give you an opportunity to get me out of it, trying to give you a plan one, plan two, plan three, an ABC, a door, a curtain, a box. Ooh. Every time I begin to overthink and overstress, then it's reminding me that I'm under trusting you. Father, forgive me. And then what gets my mind off of overthinking is reading his word. So I just open up his Bible and I start reading his word. So instead of Alexander listening to good counsel, wise counsel, Father saying, put it away, he doesn't do that. So of course he goes to a store, and he buys silly things, and then it just goes page by page by page. Goodbye 15 cents, goodbye 20 cents, and just continues to how he wasted it, goodbye 12 cents. He lost a few coins down a crack in the floor, goodbye 8 cents. He tried a butter knife to get it out. Now this comes to me with, when we think God isn't there, when we think we're losing our way, when we see it like sands falling through our hands, instead of going to him and saying, wow, God, I fully surrender. I'm throwing my attempts at this, and it is falling down through the cracks. And then I'm running to get a butter knife to try to get my own coins out of the cracks. I have never, ever reminded myself that you've got this. I should have just put my money in the bank. I should have put my money in you. I should have just been praying and trusting. But no, here I'm trying to go and do this all myself. And then when the situation gets worse, I'm trying to fix that myself, and I'm just making it more worse, because in the end, he breaks his mom's butter knife and he breaks his mom's scissors by trying to get the coins out of the cracks. So how many times do we do that? How many times do we do that? We have to be honest with ourselves. We do that. So then he says, last Sunday when I used to be rich, I found this chocolate candy bar just sitting there. I rescued it because it could have been melted or smushed, except whoopsie, it was my brother's Anthony's. So my mom made me give him 11 cents for taking a few bites out of his candy bar. Goodbye, 11 cents. Then he talks about how he wasted 4 cents and just keeps going. Then he wasted a nickel. Then he wasted 20 more cents. So it just keeps going, scenario after scenario after scenario, where it's getting worse and worse and worse. So finally, at the very end, he tells his grandma and grandpa, who gave him the money to begin with, as they're leaving, to come back soon. Because what's his motivation? To get more money from them. Because he threw everything away they gave him. When I looked at that page and reread it, I thought about generational faith. And in my reading of late, Proverbs 14, 26 through 27 talked about generational faith. That we have the ability to secure for ourselves and then for future generations a faith that will help lead them to a fountain of life by what we are doing right now. And because of the generational faith, I have been able to be motivated and strengthened by from my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents. I feel I have an even higher call on my life to encourage myself to remain faithful for the legacy for my children and my grandchildren because of the work and the faithfulness and the dependence on God that generations above me had. That, wow, I have to keep strengthening that for future generations of mine. But let me read that, Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. So if you don't realize it right now, the impact that you are making on future generations, and if the generations above you did not leave you a strong faith, start it. Start it. Be the first generation to leave a legacy of faith. Leave a fountain of life for your future generations. But don't waste it. So here grandma and grandpa gave him money equally to the amount he gave brothers, and brothers still have theirs. He lost all of his. But those grandma and grandpa faithful generations will come again and give him another shot. We can never out-sin God's faithfulness and forgiveness if we confess it and pursue and seek him. So last Sunday when I used to be rich, I used to have a dollar. I don't have a dollar anymore. I've got a dopey deck of cards. I've got a one-eyed bear. And I've got a melted candle. And I've got some bus tokens. So what I want you to listen today too, is I don't know where you are in your faith walk. I don't know where you are in your fears and your anxieties, but you can start today. You can start today. Isaiah 41, 13, do not fear, I will help you. You can start today and change the trajectory for future generations and for yourself right now from fearful to faithful. And it begins by looking at your life and saying, what am I wasting my life on? And not just money like Alexander. What am I wasting my energy on, my time on? What am I consuming? What am I troubled about? What is my mind and my heart and my soul wrestling with constantly? Like I say, you choose what you're overwhelmed by. You get to choose what you're overwhelmed by. I make the decision, even when it's difficult, I make the decision to be overwhelmed by joy, overwhelmed by trust, overwhelmed by faith. Look at your feel wheel, overwhelmed by His holiness, overwhelmed by love, overwhelmed by goodness, mercy, gracious, patience, wisdom, truthfulness, faithfulness. And how I do that is by seeking Him in His Word. And that's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes only from the Word of God. James 3:13-18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So Alexander not only had the same amount of money as his brothers, but as he wasted it, he became jealous of the fact that they were wise enough to keep it. So if any of you, like the beginning of the story, are like, well, she has that and she has this and all I have is bus tokens, that is because Satan has offered you and you have taken from him the sin of jealousy and envy, instead of just saying, God, this is my lot right now. This is my lot in life, that you have the ability to save me from myself from. I want to gain wisdom from you. I want to humbly meet with you in your word. I want to hear you speak wisdom to me. I want you to mature me through these trials. I want to trust that you know best, that you know that from this you are going to work good in me. And by working good in me and me having the spiritual markers of wisdom as maturity, then you are therefore able to use me to help someone else. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. That's how we become wise. We live the week that Alexander lived. We do. And then we figure out, wow, I won't do that again. And that's how God is like, girl, I've got you. Meet with me in your weakness. Meet with me in your wonderful. I'm going to read you one other thing as we close. It's called Wisdom from the Spirit. This is from Chuck Swindoll. It's out of 1 Corinthians 2:1-16. The Holy Spirit isn't an it. The Holy Spirit is more than an it. He is God the Father. He is Jesus. He is the Trinity. He is personality, mind, will, emotions. He is our advocate. He feels sorrow. He's the one who has been called alongside us to help us. He is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with God the Father, God the Son. He shares fully in the divine attributes. Think of our feel wheel. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist as equals, together but separate. And it's a mystery that we can never fully grasp, but it's a true reality. God the Father planned our salvation. God the Son implemented our salvation. And God the Holy Spirit is empowering our salvation. The Spirit can operate in a realm where only God is present. He has the very mind of God Himself. And Paul tells the Corinthians that his message is derived from the wisdom of God, and it's a mystery that has been revealed to him. So before the beginning of time, God made his plan in his perfect wisdom, knowledge, and truth. The mystery of God was originally arranged by the Godhead, all three of them put together. But then in the Garden of Eden, humanity sinned, and whole minds, hearts, and wills changed. And that's when we became spiritually blind and spiritually dead. And then that is where, as you know, God sent his son in the flesh to experience life as a human so that he could give himself as that sacrifice for us the lost people, to make a way as the blood offering for us to have the ability to believe in Jesus, accept him, ask him into our hearts, ask him to be our Lord and Savior, ask him to be our God and our guide. And then it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can grasp the extent of the truth of the scripture. Will you ever grasp it? You only will grasp it by the pursuit of it, the seeking of it, the searching of it, and by the Holy Spirit's revelation of it to you. But you have to put in the discipline and the work. It is a process. The Holy Spirit ministers to us. He's the only way we are allowed to know God's truth. That is wisdom. It's not just knowledge of the words on the page. Like, well, I know what that means. It's beyond that. To me, knowledge is knowing what something is. Wisdom is like seeing through it. It's like, wow, okay. It's like a higher calling. It's a higher purpose. It's like, I know that I know that I know that this is happening to me. Like think of the situation you're presently in. If it's dire or if it's debilitating you, then you have knowledge of this situation is happening. Wisdom is knowing that despite that situation, God is there. Despite your circumstances, God has something that is going to come out of it. And it may just be the maturing of you. The end goal of whatever trial it is you're in at present may simply be to help you become fully devoted. Sometimes I think we want the outcome to be an answer, that we want it to be a result. We want it to be some type of a fix, when really all it is Christ's ability to renew us, change us, restore us, offer us the ability to be humbled, offer us the ability to surrender. He wants our mind, our heart, our soul on him. Sometimes the challenges that we face, we make them ourselves. The book by Judith could have been Alexander Who Had a Dollar and Kept It. But no, the title of it is Alexander Who Used to Be Rich Last Sunday. Who caused all the turmoil in Alexander's life? He did. The book isn't about Alexander Who Used to Be Rich Last Sunday, but God caused trials in his life. Alexander chose those trials. He made those decisions. He made it worse. So sometimes you have to look in the mirror and you realize, I am here by choices I made. But God knew I'd make those choices. And God's still here with me. And God is just desiring a personal relationship with us. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to lead us. He wants us to see through our now. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to testify in the middle of our trials and then outside of them. That's all he wants. He wants all of us to be Alexander who is rich in Christ. That's all he wants us to be. He doesn't want us to compare. He doesn't want us to hold our past mistakes in front of us as failures. He wants us to seek forgiveness and he wants us to go on. He wants us to listen to wise counsel. He wants us to put ourselves in community with like-minded believers that are mature and will help us mature. He wants us to read his word. Read his word. And ask the Holy Spirit to offer us wisdom. I'm going to leave you with something to read for yourself. It's Isaiah 11. Just start with verse 1 and go all the way through at least verse 5. If you feel like keep reading, keep reading. It's all about the Spirit of the Lord resting, resting on any and all of us who seek it. I thank you for tuning in to these midweek motivations as we have been looking at the character of God, Christ, enabled in our lives only by the Holy Spirit. We cannot exhibit any of these as humans without the Holy Spirit's enabling us to recognize in ourselves how we can be more like Christ. And we will fail. We will fail. But it's all about just saying, wow, forgive me. And I still seek to be an example in my humanness of holiness, love, goodness, justness, mercy, grace, faithfulness, patience, truthfulness, and wisdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the Trinity. You, our Father, Jesus Christ, your Son, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. May we not walk a day without recognizing who you are, and that we can't do a day alone, that we need you, we seek you, we crave you, we are compelled to meet with you, to pray, to sing, to reach out to someone else, to get help, to read your word, to question, to ask, to seek, to continue, to surrender, to seek forgiveness, to be renewed, restored, to reclaim, to put past failures behind, to put present worries aside, to put future anything away and at bay and just leave it in the bank with you, that the dollar we have today we will not waste or squander, that we won't attempt to do anything with our gifts and our talents other than what you have in our calling, in our purpose, because you are kingdom-minded. We are so self-centered and we're just so right here in front of our nose, but you are eternally minded. You are kingdom-minded. You are for all of us equally. You love us all so. May we have that mind like you, that what can we do today that you can help bring wisdom to us, that we may then reach out and help someone else. That's all this life is about, that while we have breath in our lungs, we will increase our relationship with you, so that we somehow can increase a relationship with someone else to help them know you more. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. Jesus, thank you for surrendering your everything for us. It is in your name we pray. Amen. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.